Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, a very good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. All the time on the air, and also he lives very close within my community, and I always have the opportunity to see his names in a lot of the local newspapers. Some of you have probably heard his voice on the radio if you listen to Coastal Connection down here on Maryland's Eastern Shore. Brian Russo is joining us tonight on At Home with Victoria, and I'm just very happy and excited that he was able to take a little time out of his busy schedule to be here. As Brian and I talked a little bit before the show, he is a very busy person with his family and his music gigs and also just his regular work as a journalist. So, Brian, thank you so much again for being here tonight on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Victoria. It's a pleasure.
So, listen, I just want to quickly tell my entire audience how it is that you came on my radar, because a lot of times, Brian, I'm in the car, and I'm always between D.C. and Baltimore for work, so I listen to National Public Radio all the time because I kind of, you know, like to listen to National Public Radio. They have really, really good conversations, and I always like to learn something. And as a journalist, you know, that's just my choice of what I like to listen to. So it happened to be one day I actually wasn't traveling. I was actually on my way outside of Ocean City, and there were these little scoot coops that were all over the place. And I had, you know, I had seen them down there, and I didn't really know much about them. And I remember I came home, and Victor, my sweetheart, we had this conversation about it. And I said, well, I'm going to have to Google it and see what's going on because, you know, I know I live in this community, and I'm just interested. It was something new. Whenever there's something new in Ocean City, everybody kind of wants to know what it is. Well, lo and behold, I get into my car the next day at lunchtime, and there you are on the radio, and you are talking about the scoop coops, and you did this story on it. So I just thought that was great that, you know, the timing on that, that I got to listen to all of your report on it, and you gave me all the information. So it just tickled me so. And then I had followed you prior to that, so I wanted to have you on the show just to highlight the good work that you do as a journalist and what you provide to the community that I live in, and also just to, you know, all of your fans and friends who follow you. So with that said, we'll talk about your music career first, and then we'll kind of backtrack into you as a journalist. So was music something that you always, you know, kind of dabbled in even when you were a youngster?
Yeah, I mean, music's been a part of life since pretty much ever, you know, as soon as I could walk. I think my mother tells the story that there was, and I actually remember this, there was a Sesame Street episode with Itzhak Perlman, the great violinist, playing with Grover or something. And I remember watching that, and I was probably, my mom says I was two or three, and she said, I looked at her and I said, Mom, I want to do that. And so I started with the piano first. My mom's a piano teacher as well as a vocal teacher, and she taught out of our house, you know, basically growing up my whole life. So I was always surrounded by, you know, show tunes and classical pieces. So I started with piano, and I did that just to learn music, you know, learn how to read it. And then by second grade, I had switched over to the violin, and I was a classically trained violinist up until my senior year of high school. And the last thing I did with the violin, I played with the maestro Lauren Mazel in the Pittsburgh Symphony. I was chosen to play this thing called the Side-by-Side Festival with the Pittsburgh Symphony at the Carnegie Hall. And it was quite a thrill. And, you know, played a Mendelssohn piece and a Liszt piece in front of, you know, a packed house at Carnegie Hall, sitting next to, you know, a member of the Pittsburgh Symphony. It was quite a thrill as a young boy. So, you know, and
That's pretty big.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool thrill. And, you know, I had been doing music. I'd spent, you know, most of my weekends in high school, you know, going to college conservatories and, you know, studying these, you know, grandiose pieces of classical music, you know, Bach and Beethoven. And that was what I did. And I think I kind of got burned out by it. towards the end of high school. And I also played sports. I played hockey and I played soccer and baseball. And I wanted to go to school. I remember sitting there on the stage at Carnegie Hall. I was sitting next to a gentleman who was an amazing accomplished violinist that studied at Juilliard. And he said, so what music conservatory are you going to go to? And I said, I'm actually going to go to journalism school. And he was, like, flabbergasted by it. So I kind of stepped away from music for a little while and went to college. And I played hockey in college. And I was at, you know, just studied journalism. And just started doing, you know, I started in radio. Had a little, you know, Saturday morning radio show in college. And then that got moved up to primetime because they liked it. And then I was the executive producer and the co-host of the campus television show. And I really wanted to do broadcast news for a long time. And then, you know, I also did play-by-play for all the sports, yada, yada, yada. But everything kind of changed for me when I went, I took my last year of school in Scotland at the University of Glasgow Caledonian. And I wanted to be, you know, a broadcast news journalist. And when I went there and I started reading, ironically, the, you know, the British tabloid press, and I realized that, or at least came to this some sort of epiphany. Remember, I was on a train going from London to Glasgow, and I thought, you know, everything is becoming infotainment now. It's not so much about investigative news stories that I really wanted to tell and the stories of people, you know, making news. It was about, you know, what celebrities were dating each other and, mm-hmm. you know, who, you know, bad things that celebrities do. So I wanted to do more feature stuff. So I picked up music again. I found a guitar. And I remember buying it at a pawn shop in Scotland, and I started playing on the street with like a bottle of scotch and writing songs on and busking on the streets in Scotland, and you know, came back from there and I haven't looked back. I've just, you know, it just was an extension of storytelling for me.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because of course when you and I connected and you gave me and by the way, thank you for all the information that you sent me. You made my job a lot easier. But all the information that you sent me about you, and I was reading some of your information on your MySpace page, and I just thought that, you know, wow, what a great opportunity or thing for you to do to, you know, go to school in Scotland, because that right there, I'm sure, not only as a journalist but as a person, just completely would give you a different perspective on life. I mean, that was one thing at my journalism career that, and I still do wish that I'm able, you know, for example, to go to another country and experience that. So I just think that's wonderful that you're able to experience that. So would you say, you know, that would be something that, you know, if possible, college kids or youngsters who are interested in journalism, that if they ever have the chance to go somewhere else out of the U.S., that they should certainly take that opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even if they don't want to be a journalist, I mean, just I think it's a good life lesson just to, you know, go out and experience life and not, you know, you can read about it on in technology and in books and on, you know, pull it up on the internet at the touch of, you know, touch of a button, but to be there in a historic place where, you know, amazing things in history happen or just these beautiful landscapes, I mean, that will change your life. And I certainly, I learned more about my country going to another country, coming back and realizing that, you know, I guess you just have to kind of get out of your pastures to really appreciate your pasture, so to speak.
Right. I would certainly
encourage anybody to do traveling, especially when you're young and, you know, you're not tied down and, you know, you have nothing else to do but to go and have a Kerouac kind of on the road experience.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when you mentioned your sort of revelation that you had about journalism and not so much being interested in the whole tabloid part of it. And that's especially interesting as of what's going on right now in the news with Rupert Murdoch and his News Corp Association and all the stuff that's going on over there with tabloid journalism and what his folks did or did not know or allegedly knew and did not knew. No, but one thing that I wanted to throw in there, I remember when I was a producer at that point when I worked in Baltimore at WMAR-TV, and I remember thinking one day, if you, anybody know anything about TV, I'm not sure how it is in radio, but every single day there's a morning meeting with all the producers and the executive producers, the news directors and the reporters and the anchors, if you're there for whatever shift is, you all kind of get together. You sit down at the table, you talk about what stories the assignment editor tells you, whatever, whatever. And I remember sort of having an out-of-body experience because many times at those meetings, passions would, like, completely get high and people would, you know, would sort of fight about what story was good and what story wasn't good, and they would really kind of give their opinion. And I remember thinking, as if this happened to me yesterday, Brian, that it wasn't a stretch that one day that I was going to see television newscasts where anchors were going to be more freely to speak about or make comments about whatever it is, the story that they were reading. Because at that time, all the tabloid shows were going from print to television, and I knew just from the data that the television newsrooms, you know, no longer had to compete with just regular primetime shows, but they had to compete with those sort of gossip news shows. And in order for them to do that, some things within the newsroom had to change. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, sort of fast forward to 10 or 15 years ago when I saw that you know, you kind of turn on the news now, and that's exactly what's happening on cable news, where, you know, folks are arguing and, you know, debating or whatever it is they want to call it. But I say that to say also is that I think that's why even now for me as a journalist, I really appreciate the work like that you do on Coastal Connection, because, you know, it's a situation where you're giving the information, you're giving the facts, and, you know, you have the opportunity to learn something and then make your own decision. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think what I really want to do with Coastal Connection is I just want to have a good conversation and a healthy discourse about things that are happening and the people that are making those things happen. And rather than, you know, there is certainly a trend in journalism these days where, you know, it didn't used to be where the journalists would editorialize in any way. It was just, you know, it's like they call them in Britain, they call them newsreaders. So your job is to essentially present the news and the information to people and let them, you know, you give them both sides of the story and you let them, you know, come up with their own, you know, determination of what that story is and where to go from there. Where I think now, you know, there's a lot of journalists that have become, you know, sort of personalities or celebrities, you know, maybe in their own mind or maybe, you know, because they've been on a TV news program. That, I don't know, I just feel like it convolutes the stream of information, and now there's so much information out there at a constant 24/7, you know, rotation that I just don't know, you know, if the conversations that need to be had about issues are not getting lost in just the fact of people trying to get them out there first, or if, you know, people are trying to talk over each other. So with Coastal Connection, I just want to ask the questions that I think that people want to know. And I'm just as interested as the listeners. I want to know, you know, what – I want to get to the second and third layer of the onion, not just scratch the surface and have something that
nobody
else has. I really want to understand it.
Yeah, and that was one thing when I that was one thing that you really, really get a sense of. And if anybody's out there and you haven't listened to Coastal Connection, you've got to listen to it. I know, and Brian will tell us, you can go back and find the back shows on podcast. But that was one thing that you really got a sense of when I was in my car, because, in fact, I was in Ocean Pines, and Brian knows who that is, and I was at the grocery store at Line. And the thing is, you were on and you were talking, and literally I didn't get out of the car until your piece was over. Because you were asking, you know, the first of all, the basic questions, but then after that it was sort of like an onion, and there were these, you know, constant layers that you know you were peeling back. But the other thing that I loved about that was, although you were providing information, it was kind of funny at times, because I think at one point when you were actually inside of the Scoop Coop and you went out on Coastal Highway, and I just remember kind of laughing to myself thinking, oh, I can't wait to hear, you know, what his experience is going to be like that. Because anybody knows that knows Coastal Highway, that's it's really, really, really busy. It's sort of your main strip through Ocean City. I mean, traffic in the summer, of course, is crazy. And then the part that was so funny to me was when everything seemed to be fine. I don't know if it was a bus or a truck that drove by you. And you kind of mentioned about, well, you know, everything's sort of fine, but you do sort of shake a little bit or feel a little bit of more wind, you know, when a big truck or bus comes by you. And that just, you know, just completely just cracked me up because it was funny. But at the same time, like I said, you answered every single question that, you know, even me as a journalist would have. But it was information, but also a bit of a entertaining. But the entertainment came in because we got a chance to sort of feel your experience as you were out there doing it.
Right. And then, you know, a funny story about that moment in the piece that I didn't put into the actual broadcast is when we were in the bus lane and coming up on a bus very rapidly and then essentially slaloming around it, is the bus that we were coming up on was the WAMU 885 bus. And on the back panel of that bus is an advertisement for my show Coastal Connection. So it was kind of ironic while I was, you know, interviewing the gentleman while in the Scoot Coop that I was rushing towards a bus that had the show on it. It was kind of funny.
That's some good stuff right there. I love it. And then another piece that you did, and, of course, I was really happy about this because you can probably tell me more, but it was, I guess, I don't know if you do like a review or recap of some of the past stories that you had done. So I had missed a lot, so I had the chance to be in the car and listen to like two or three at one time. But this was the one where the where you had the airplane show, the Ocean City Air Show, and it was that one was a very cool one. And when you talked about your size 11 shoe, you know, being inside the aircraft and how that experience was. So that was a very cool one as well.
Yeah, last year when I was writing for the local newspaper in Ocean City called The Dispatch, I got to go up with an aerobatic stunt pilot called Rob Holland. And, you know, we did the flips and everything. And I remember that being just a great experience. And I wrote a cover story about that. And then this year I remember the promoter contacted me and said, hey, you know, would you like to go back up again? And I said, well, it's going to be a little different because, you know, I have a radio format. So I was really happy that I was able to essentially tap into the audio on this plane and mm-hmm. basically did an interview from 2,000 feet in the air while flying over the Ocean City coastline. It was really cool. And then I got mm-hmm. done with that, and then I actually got to fly with a gentleman called Chuck Aaron, who's only one of three people in the entire world that can do flips and aerobatic stunts in a helicopter. And that was a pretty amazing experience. So it was tough, though, you know, to go flying in the morning on two different aircraft and, you know, basically be working. And then you get down and it's like, well, how do I go back to the office? So it was a cool story. And those guys were fantastic and, you know, such talented and amazing personalities. And that's kind of the thing that I want to capture with Coastal Connection is just really telling the stories. Because what I've always loved about this area is that, you know, I think a lot of people just think of the beach and they don't necessarily think of the locals who live here. But there's so many interesting stories of the people that live here, and they're just amazing personalities, and I just want to tell those stories. And, you know, it intrigues me.
I agree too, and I had the opportunity. Of course, I made my way down here from I used to be a reporter, news anchor in Baltimore. And actually, I worked at the local ABC affiliate here. I was a news anchor here for 4 years. I left here and went to Baltimore. While I was here, I ended up meeting Victor. So that was my connection to Stain. So I lived in Baltimore for 5 years, and I was going back and forth all the time. So when this new opportunity came up for me to do the show from down here and I could do it anywhere, that was great. But I mentioned that because I remember when I was a news anchor at 47 for such a long period of time, I mean, I always enjoyed You know, I was never the type of reporter who necessarily, Brian, always wanted to do the city council and the board of education. I mean, I've done those in my career, but that wasn't really kind of what I like to focus on. I always like to focus on people and different organizations and nonprofits because I really sort of in my career have come to realize that, that those really are the people that make up communities, to me, in my opinion. So, so I really got a chance to do a lot of those kinds of stories that you're talking about down here as well. And, you know, the flip side to that that I look at it, which is why I love Coastal Connection, because I also look at it as documentation in terms of history that, you know, you are providing a visual history that will be on record sort of forever and forever, you know, for the people who live down here as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I just, like I said, I mean, it's all about really telling the stories, I think, in a way that maybe haven't been told before and getting to a deeper level and really making the people that you're interviewing feel comfortable with you. And you know, I think there's a lot of journalists that really try and push for a certain soundbite. It's almost like they've written the piece in their head before they actually ask the questions. And I think when you're having a conversation with somebody and you really are listening to what they're saying, that's why – you know, I think sometimes the second question always leads to the most interesting point in the interview. And, you know, it's been a really cool challenge to kind of create something new that hasn't been here on the coast. And you know, really it's humbling to see people really, you know, gravitate toward it and enjoy it.
I was going to ask you that. You know, I sort of came out of the blue and said, "Hey, can you be on my show? I want to profile you. I love what you do." But I'm sure it's probably a good feeling that you get when people sort of find out who you are or know who you are or have the opportunity to kind of follow your work as a journalist and a writer down here when you actually do a really good story or something that in their eyes make a contribution to the community. That's got to be a good feeling for you.
No, sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, everybody wants to make their mark on the community, and you know, I'm just trying to do a good job with the amazing opportunity I've been given by the folks at WAMU and American University up in D.C. And you know, 88.3 is a new project for them and a new frequency, and you know, they hired me last September, and you know, I've gotten to work with some just tremendous talented people up there, and my producer Tara Boyle has been, you know, a huge asset and just basically a saving grace, you know, because we have a very, you know, interesting challenge is that, you know, I'm the only one down here on the coast, and you know, everybody that I work with and everybody that is helping me create this show is in D.C. So it's a very difficult dynamic and an interesting challenge that to pull off every week and to make a show that, you know, can follow up, you know, a legend like Diane Rehm on Fridays and you know, sound just as good and captivate audiences. So, you know, I'm trying to get better every week, and I figure if I make the show interesting and get it, you know, better every week, you know, we'll be on to something.
Well, of course, I mean, I don't know if anyone can take my word except for my wonderful 50,000-plus followers that I've amassed over the last year and a half that I've been doing this show. I think you're doing a fantastic job again, and I'm a journalist, but just a person who lives down here and your average person who listens to the radio. And speaking of radio, I do want to listen to some of your music. So, Brian, don't go anywhere. We're going to play one of your songs on the other side of this. We'll talk a little bit about it, so you stay right there. I believe this is Devilish Eyes, I believe.
Yeah, this is a twist.
I've grown tired of all this fueled information, all this widespread speculation about who is sucking us dry. And I've grown weary of all my troubles and frustrations, all these trials and tribulations, how they put us all in a straight line. And it feels like something's coming, it feels like something's amiss. It feels like I might be the turning point. Baby, now it's only the twist. Baby, shake it like this. Baby, shake it like this.
And welcome back, everybody. I actually think I made a quick mistake. The song that we just listened to is actually The Twist. Brian, I love that song, and it appears that most of the folks that are inside our chat room, the comments that they're making, they say that they love it too. Talk a little bit about that one.
That's going to be on the new record. It's going to be called Sound the Alarms. That'll be the name of the record. Hopefully it'll be out by September. I recorded three of the songs in Philadelphia at a studio called Milk Boy Studios in Ardmore with Tommy Joyner playing the drums as well as producing it. And then I had a gentleman called Scott Sachs, who is an amazing musician in his own right. He's won a Grammy and toured with some of, you know, just legendary people like Robert Plant and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, we went up in over 2 days and recorded three songs, and then I had a couple other songs that I did here in Ocean City that will also be on the record, and then the title track is going to be used for a foundation called the PJ Aldridge Foundation. It's a song that's going to be kind of their official theme song as they kind of try to raise money and awareness for lung cancer research. So when the record comes out, actually half of the proceeds that I make off the record are going to go right back to the PJ Aldridge Foundation. And, you know, it just seems like the right thing to do. And PJ's a friend of mine, and you know, we've become closer. I actually did a story on him and just was so captivated by his story, and we became friends, and, you know, it went from there. So it's I'm very excited about this project from an artistic level, as well as I really think that these songs, you know, can really move some people on a commercial level too. I mean, you know, that song, The Twist, I think is very radio friendly, as they say, and it says a lot. I'm very excited about this project.
Yeah, I do. I really liked the song from the first time that I, you know, you sent it to me when I was downloading it and listened to it. So I put it on my my iPod quite fast. So I already have you on my iPod. So when I'm out and about doing, when I'm out and about,
you're one of the only people that have an early copy of it, because it's not technically out yet. So enjoy it.
Well,
and you know, the last record is on iTunes. So if people, you know, like what they hear, you know, they can just search my name, Brian Russo, BRYANRUSSO, in iTunes and pick up the last record, which was called The Next Big Thing EP. A couple of those songs went into some movie soundtracks, and I think thanks to the internet, it's been heard in like 18 countries now. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
and actually, speaking of that, let me just say before, as we've been talking, I have been putting all of your websites, CD Baby, your MySpace, mm-hmm. so all of your websites for people to find you. I have been putting that in the chat room. So we've got the feedthemuse.net, we've got cdbaby.com, MySpace, Sonic Bid. So we've got all of your information in the chat room. So anyone who listens to At Home with Victoria, trust me, you'll be able to find Brian Russo. Plus, I've been posting a lot of your information on my wall as well as Twitter. So when that officially comes out, I'll kind of follow your Facebook page and let all of our fans and stuff know, because folks inside the chat room are already saying that that they like it and they want to download it and they're looking forward to it as well. Speaking of the chat room, Brian, I just want to say hi. We've got some guests who are visiting us. My entertainment co-host and producer, Michael K. Sandy, is visiting us tonight, and also Shannon. Brian, Shannon is quite interesting because Shannon is a teenager, and she listens to my show over in England. And I just think that's the coolest thing. It's 1:30 in the morning there, and she stayed up tonight because she wanted to listen to your interview and hear your music. So maybe you can give a special shout-out to Shannon.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for listening. I spent some time in England and love the country, and I love the UK. I'm a big British football fan, so I spend my weekends watching the EPL. So in fear of knowing, you know, how passionate people get about their football in Britain, I won't tell you who I follow just in case you happen to follow the Nemesis team. But, you know, cheers to you and thank you for listening. And, you know, spread the word. If you like what you hear, you know, tell a friend. It always helps. I'm very excited about this project. I think it's going to get out there and touch some people artistically speaking. So thank you.
Well, I'm definitely going to my fans and all the folks that follow me will definitely do our part to get it out there, because I do know the story behind it, the gentleman that you're talking about, and I do want to have him on the show. So when you have time, if it's not this summer, that's fine, but eventually I want you to email me his contact information so I can get him on At Home with Victoria so I can continue to help him and his endeavors as well. So we do have a question, and then I'm not going to keep you any longer because I did promise you to 8:30, and it's 8:33. We've got a couple of emails from folks that are listening in Philadelphia, and they want to know what's the best place to go online to find out where you're playing in Ocean City if they wanted to come and hear you play.
I'm in the process of making brianrusso.com. I'm just, you know, a friend of mine who's a web developer is working on that. It's just we've been doing these corporate video projects, and I've been writing soundtracks for, you know, these big companies with videos and such, and that's been taking up a lot of time. So brianrusso.com keeps getting pushed back. But I'm usually pretty good on being on the Facebook and promoting things there as far as gigs. But if you're going to be, for the folks in Philly, I'll be in New Jersey this weekend on Saturday. I'm headlining the Mount Holly, New Jersey Barbecue and Blues Fest. I'll be playing at 3:30, I think. And that's right off exit 5 off the New Jersey Turnpike. And then Monday, if you're in Ocean City, I'll be opening up for national recording artist Rusted Root at Secrets in Ocean City.
I may try to pop over there myself just to say hi in person and listen a little bit and have a drink or something. So I may actually pop over there to say hi. Yeah, that's literally less than 10 minutes from my house. or Brian, was there anything else that you wanted to mention about what you're doing or your show that we didn't talk about? I always like to give my guests the last word.
Sure. I mean, you know, Coastal Connection airs Fridays at noon and then re-airs at 8 o'clock on 88.3 in Ocean City. And if you missed the program, you can always podcast it. It's wamucoast.org. Then, of course, you know, the iTunes and CD Baby. I think the last record's like $5. And, you know, that certainly goes a long way to support, you know, artists that are doing it themselves. And the new record will be called Sound the Alarms. Hopefully we'll have it out in early September. And, you know, follow me on Facebook and Twitter and all those things and kind of just stay in touch. And I appreciate all the, you know, just you having me on here, Victoria. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, I always appreciate anybody who likes the you know, the art or the, you know, the day job aspects of what I do. So I'm flattered and humbled.
Well, I like both, but it was first, again, I first found out about you because of you being a journalist in Coastal Connection. So then when I got to learn a little bit more and started listening to your music and Googling you, I thought, wow, I thought this guy's really cool. I'm like, he's not only a journalist, my goodness, but he's like a musician. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. So the musical part of you was a treat that I got to learn that I was, you know, came about the professional way as a journalist just because I'm just such a big, big fan. And it's funny because wherever I go or speaking with my other friends in Baltimore or D.C. Who are journalists, I always say, oh, God, do you guys listen to Brian Russo? Oh, you've got to listen to Coastal Connection. So I think I'm sort of like a one-woman PR person because I always listen to Kojo Namni, and which is very cool because he always says your name. And I don't know his exact script, but he says something like, well, and if you're listening in Ocean City, Maryland, or if you're listening on 88.3, you know, next up is Brian Russo with Coastal Connections. I always get such a big smile on my face. It's just kind of cool for me. So.
You're not the only one. I geek out a little bit every time that Kojo says my name. He's a legend.
Yeah, because he's an institution. I mean, you know that as a journalist. Kojo is an institution. And
I got to tell you, he's such a cool guy, too. It's just been tremendous, like I said, to work with, you know, the amazingly talented people at WAMU is a thrill for me, even if I'm 3 hours away. So, yeah, it's you know, good things are happening, and, you know, I'm just trying to ride the wave and do good work, both musically and you know, with Coastal Connection, because, you know, I'm an artist with a day job and a parent and, you know, all those things, so.
Well, it is. I mean, it is happening for you. So I'm sure, if you know, I'm just kind of one person in a sea of things, you know, also doing my own little thing with my show. But I'm sure if I found out about you, then I know many, many other people will. And one thing that I do love about my show, At Home with Victoria, whenever sort of one person finds out and we kind of follow each other, we really kind of spread the word. So I'm fortunate that with this show, you can hear overseas anywhere in the U.S. And also Apple picked me up, so we're on iTunes. So actually, as soon as this show is over, within about 5 minutes, it'll be downloaded to iTunes. So that's the cool thing about it, that, you know, if anybody wants to hear what you're doing and who you are and all of that good stuff, it's great that it's out there, you know, forever. The having that information and what you're doing, I think, is very valuable. So, Brian Russo, thank you so much. I don't think this is going to be the last time you visit the show, so I'll continue to follow your Facebook page, and when the information comes out, I'll make sure on my show that I update everyone, and just continue to do a great job, and it's just really cool that, you know, I have the chance to interview you and introduce you to my audience, and we live in the same area. That's more cool to me than anything, I think.
Yeah, come out to a show. You know, I'd love to meet you in person and chat with you, and thank you for having me on your fine show.
Yep, I will. In fact, I'm
going to
try to make
that.
What time is the show on Monday? You mentioned at Secrets?
I believe I think the doors open at 9 o'clock, and we'll go on probably about 9:30. to open up for Rusted Root. So don't quote me on that. I think doors are at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Tickets are,
I'll go.
I think tickets are on Ticketmaster. If you go to Ticketmaster.com and you put Secrets, SEACRETS, and that'll take you to the show, and it'll be right there.
Great.
So, cool.
All right,
well,
Brian,
thank you so much, Victoria.
Time,
all the best.
All right, all the best to you. Thank you very much. And again, everyone, that was Brian Russo. He is a journalist as well as a musician, and I'm just happy that he was able to be on the show. So make sure you visit all of his sites and, you know, keep up with what he's doing. You got a chance to listen to some of his music, so you can find him on MySpace. You can Google him. He is on Facebook. And when he, again, that information on his new album is out, but when he really gets it out there, then I will make sure that I put it on my Facebook page and tweet about it and let all of you guys know, because I know just based on the song that you heard, I know that you like the music. And one thing that I love about you guys is that you're very good at supporting artists, original artists, and that's kind of something that we like to do here on At Home with Victoria. So again, Brian Russo was our guest tonight, and again, also, doesn't matter if you don't live down here in Ocean City, Maryland, you know, the stories are just really good stories, so you can apply the stories to anywhere. They're sort of universal stories and good information, so you can go online and get the other shows via podcast, as he said, and again, I'll put that information on my website as well. But we're going to switch subjects right now. Entertainment co-host Michael Kay is going to join the conversation because, speaking of musicians, Michael had, I believe, our very, very good friend Bethany came to visit him in Delaware. So, Michael Kay, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hello, listeners. I'm doing fantastic. And you know what? I love
Brian.
Didn't
you just love Brian?
I did. I think he's fantastic. And the funny thing is that I was watching the very same Sesame Street show that Itzhak Perlman and Grover were on. I remember that.
No
pure
way.
As day. Absolutely, I remember that. Of course, I was more like Grover. I didn't turn out like Brian Russo did, but yeah, no, I think his music's fantastic. I've listened to his show, and it's quite good.
You have to make sure when we're done with the show that you friend him and make sure you mention that on his wall. That I think he'd be very, very happy to hear that.
Absolutely, I will. But yeah, Bethany and Carl Schmidt from Necessary Truth stopped by my house last Friday. They were on the way home. They live in Whittier, North Carolina. They went up to Scranton, Pennsylvania, then off to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, then to my house, then back to Whittier, North Carolina. The whole trip took about 5 days, and for three of those days, they slept in the trailer with no air conditioning, so you can only imagine how wonderful that was with our 118-degree weather. So by the time they got to my house, they were very excited to go ahead and have air conditioning, which was
and
great.
And a swimming pool.
And a swimming pool,
and
absolutely.
Swimming pool.
And the kids loved it. Everybody, she's got two daughters, Hannah and Alex. Hannah's 14, Alex is 16, and then little Elijah, who is 17 months. And, Victoria, I don't know, when was the last time you had a 17-month-old in your house?
It's been a while. It's been a,
yeah.
That would have been my niece and nephew, Davy and DJ, but they're
older now.
4 and 5. Yeah, it's been a while. How was it for you?
17 months. Oh my God, the kid got into everything. And as you know, we're two middle-aged men living together, and so there's maybe, you know, there's things around that you could choke on and swallow. And I tell you, I was running ragged. But the little kid actually reminds me of, you've seen the movie Parenthood with Steve Martin and everybody. His little kid on there is exactly what Bethany's Elijah is like. Just this little spitfire, and he's fantastic. He was in the pool, out of the pool, eating chicken. Just had a fantastic time. They're actually going back into the studio in August. They're raising funds on their www.facebook.com/ Necessary Truth. There's a PayPal account set up on there, and they're just looking for monetary donations to go ahead and get their album be realized. So they go into the studio in August, and then it's just a matter of putting the tracks together. But we had a fantastic time with them, not a long enough, less than 24 hours, but I managed to go ahead and squeak an interview out of her while I was cutting her hair. She went through a huge problem this year. She was very, very sick, had an infection in her lungs, and really was in a coma for 10 days and clearly almost died. So she went through a very, very huge life learning experience, but came out
Does
of it just
remember?
With flying colors.
She
talks about
remembering
certain parts
of
it. Yeah, she talks about remembering certain parts of it. She has what they call ICU trauma. So she was actually delusional from the lack of oxygen to her brain. She was thinking that Carl had one point run off with the baby. Carl was having an affair. There was lots of things going on. There was one point where she ripped out her feeding tubes because they thought they were killing her. So the stories, like I said, are all on the YouTube video. But it was really amazing to see a close personal friend of mine go through something like that, because it's very scary when they're your same age. You know, everybody she's young. Well, she's not my age. I mean, I'm 42, and Bethany is mid-30s.
Yeah, but
she's
young,
For someone to go through that, it's just horrible. But I'd like to go ahead and ask everybody, just go ahead and send prayers out to her mother, too. Her mother's not doing too well. But long story short, and on a happier note, yeah, I had a great time with them. They were super fun, super, super great guests. We got into the meaning of life conversation that we always get into. So over a few Yingling beers, we solved all the world's problems. So we were certainly certainly beneficial and certainly productive that night.
Well, let's listen to one of her songs. I do believe we have Necessary Truth on here. So let's go ahead and listen to it, and we'll rejoin the conversation right on the other side of the song.
Sounds great.
Here I go.
Michael. Bethany's voice is just angelic, and it just tugs at your heart.
It's fantastic. She writes all her own material. Another song you should go ahead and check out on her Reverb Nation page / Necessary Truth is Mama. It's a song she wrote for her mother who had cancer, and it is the absolute most touching. She came to my house and sang it, and I thought she was singing someone else's song. And she said, well, what'd you think? I said, well, it's fantastic. I said, who wrote that? She said, well, I did. It's like, I thought I've heard that. It sounded so radio, and it was absolutely, the words were impeccable. She's an excellent singer-songwriter. I highly encourage everyone to go ahead and check her page out.
Yes, she certainly is. But let's talk a little bit about your video, because a lot of your fans of the show and that follow you through our show, we love that format of the video with you doing the hair. And this little chit-chat that you do with the hair, you did that with Shelly, and then you also styled Bethany's hair. And that's a really, really cool format because it also gives us the opportunity to see you at work.
Well, it also gives me a chance because I've been retired now for a few years, so it gives me a chance to keep my hands in it without having any of the stress because I only get to do the people that I really, really like. So, Shelly, it was a fantastic opportunity because she was, like I said, that video was shot 12 minutes before she went on stage. It was very, very impromptu. And the same thing with Bethany. That's what we do as hairdressers. We sit and chit-chat and cut your hair, make you pretty, and find out everything that's going on with your life. Now I just have the opportunity to go ahead and film it and have someone, I don't know. Did you happen to go ahead and check out, Shannon reposted my video with Shelly, and she, in the subject line, it was chit-chat hairspray and MK's bum, because I had put the camera towards the back of the camera. That's the only place I could put it, but I thought that was really hilarious. But I'm glad you like the format.
Yes.
I certainly love doing it.
I did. In fact, I did see that, so if any of you out there did not have the opportunity to see that, I'm sure if you go to Michael's wall or his fan page, Entertainment Co-host at Home with Victoria, I know just a few hours ago I kind of looked and the videos were still up there, then you can go ahead and take a peek and look at the videos. Plus, MK also has his own YouTube account where he has some even past videos that you've done an interview, so that'll give you an opportunity to kind of go back and check and take a look at that. So I know there are a few other things, Michael, that we are supposed to talk about. The back-to-school drive, is that one?
The back-to-school drive for the Warford Foundation, Athenia Warford, yeah. The back-to-school drive proceeds will enable the Warford Foundation to provide school supplies to the children of single mothers and military widows that are attending Prince George's Community College. It's actually on Saturday, August 6th. From 2 to 5 p.m., and it's going to be taking place at the Largo Community Center on the campus of Prince George's Community College. Just a fantastic organization. I honor Parthenia for doing all she does, especially for the widows and the single mothers of the military. Truly a fantastic event. Go ahead and check Victoria's page or my page out for the address. It's actually Largo Community Center.
In fact, I emailed her today because I have a show tomorrow with Petra Cleary, who is on At Home with Victoria quite often, and she does a lot of health. She's got this new program that she's working on, and I was excited about it, where she's giving free information, just really good information out at lunchtime, and all you've got to do is call into the service and kind of sit and listen and have lunch. So so she's on tomorrow for about 15 minutes, so I thought, well, why not have the issue of the school drive, we can, talk about that. So she's been nice enough to come on tomorrow and to actually talk a little bit more about it in detail. So I don't know what your schedule is, MK, but maybe you can join us tomorrow after 8:15 for that. But she just does a wonderful job. But it's funny because when I first saw that, everybody knows it's kind of different programs that I pick and choose. I can't do everything, but there are, certain people that really support At Home with Victoria, and they always come first, and I really like to support them. And part of me, I was very happy, of course, and the other part, I thought, oh, no, we're talking about back to school already. The poor kids.
I know.
It just seems like they got out of school for the summer. Now we're talking about back to school supplies for them. So that was kind of kind of interesting. But yeah, MK, you're right. The Warford Foundation, you can find the information on Facebook and also Twitter, but she does an amazing job, and she too has been on At Home with Victoria. So if you are more a little bit more interested in what that's all about, you can always go back to our past shows and find her, because we did have a chance to interview. I think I did that, and I think you were on a little bit later. And talk to her about all the wonderful things that that she actually is doing. So I know, MK, you put some new shows into the computer. So you've got a couple of artists coming up that we're going to get to learn a little bit more about. You want to chat a little bit about that?
I do. I'm really excited. I went ahead and met this amazing person named Amanda Moore from Synchronicity PR, and she's introduced me to a couple of four people that I've sifted through. She's got quite a few of them, but four people that I really, really think you're going to be impressed with. On August 11th, you're going to see Tommy Dalton and Scott Carey share the show together. Tommy Dalton is straight from Nashville. I believe he's from Nashville. Could be Alabama as well, but good-looking kid, great sound, so it's humble good looks, so that it's that aw shucks nature that I really like. And then a little later that hour, Scott Carey is going to be on. Scott Carey is an ex-model who is quite easy on the eyes and just an absolute stunning voice. And then on August 25th, I have Chad Bradford and the Damn Band and Rexton Lee. Chad is hailing from Alabama as well. And again, I'm four people I'm just thrilled to introduce our listeners to, because they have a certain edge to them that is unlike, and so absolutely ready to hit it big, just really, really on the cusp. So I'm really glad to bring them to you.
Right. And we've talked about this, you and I have talked about this before many, many times on At Home with Victoria, where it's just wonderful, not even when it comes to musicians, but no matter what fields or professions that folks are in, to be able to have them come on our show. And, you know, these may be people who are upcoming in their careers. These may be people, you know, who do a very good job of getting a lot of press. In some cases, you know, some of the organizations and people that we have interviewed, they've gotten no press at all. So it's just great that we're able to kind of bridge that bridge and make that connection to get, you know, people who are out there and also upcoming people on the show to say, hey, this is somebody that you really need to know about, or hey, this is somebody that you need to listen to, or hey, this is a really, you know, great group that's doing some good work that, you know, needs to be on your radar. So I'm always very proud of you for sifting through those people, and also me as well, and trying to find those. But I'm excited for you because very soon you are going to do your first News Crunch with me. And the topic is going to be Rupert Murdoch, and we're also going to throw a few other things in there, probably the debt, as we get closer to the show. And News Crunch, for those of you who don't know, my background is I'm a television journalist, and I've been a journalist for about 18 years. That's all I know. And I started a new segment about a couple of months ago called News Crunch, where we basically take the main topics in the news, and we get different people from different backgrounds to come on and give their opinions and just to talk about the issues. So this one is going to be interesting because normally I have two guests, but on this one I think I'm going to have close to four people, and people from all different backgrounds. So I'm looking forward to that. So the format's a little bit different, and that, you know, it's a little bit of joking, but it really isn't that much joking because we really try to talk about issues and kind of give our opinions on that. So I'm excited for you in making your debut on News Crunch. Have you been doing your research? Because the good thing about you and why I selected you also for News Crunch was because you're going to be coming from the point of view of somebody that really didn't know much about the issue and what's going on with Rupert Murdoch. So you're kind of coming from the point of view, I haven't been following this stuff, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm going to kind of take a look at all this and then give my opinion and discuss it when we come to the table. So have you been kind of looking at some of the information out there about it?
you know what, I'm choosing not to until the 3rd. I want it to be fresh in my head. I want it to be unbiased and everything. And
okay.
So that's what I'm going to do. Plus, I want to go ahead and let you know, too, that I'm going to be on your show on the 3rd, and then on the 4th, I'm in New York interviewing Byron Neese, who was the original Raoul from the Canadian touring company of Phantom of the Opera. So I get to sit down for an interview with him that I'm going to go ahead and bring you. We're meeting again after 22 years of friendship, and he's in New York just for a bit, so I'm going to go ahead and meet him there. But you're going to see all that.
Will he also be on our radio show also, or just the video portion? Will we also get him on the show as well?
No, we're just going to simply get videos of him on YouTube and stuff once he gets back to Hawaii and settled. He's in the process of moving right now. So once he gets everything settled in Hawaii, we can still go ahead and pick him up from Hawaii. So I plan on having him back on the show for his little time on At Home with Victoria. Great talent and a great opera voice.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. All of your interviews are always quite fun and entertaining, so I'm sure all of us will be looking forward to that. Was there anything else, MK, that we were supposed to talk about?
Just wanted to go ahead and make mention really quickly to go ahead and check out Shelly Rand's new video, I'm All Over That. It's going to be debuting on CMT and GAC in August sometime. So very proud of her. The video is fantastic. And so go ahead and...
And if you don't know what CMT is, MK, tell everybody what CMT is, just in case they don't know.
Just Country Music Television and Great American Country.
Yeah.
So absolutely, go ahead and check them out there.
Yeah. Right, people to know, that's all. Well, listen, darling, I guess you're back on here with me again tomorrow night after 8 o'clock. We're going to talk about back-to-school drive and health and all that good stuff. So thank you for coming on. And let's see, I want to end the show with one of Shelly's songs. Which one shall I select?
Oh, play her newest one. I'm All Over That. That's her newest one coming out on CMT and GAC. So I want to go ahead and thank everybody in the chat room, Sandy at C, Shannon Sebold from the UK, and all our new guests. But, Vic, I had a great time, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, darling, and we're going to go ahead and end with Shelly Rand, I'm All Over That.
Color of my
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.